Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and today I'm delighted to have on the show, all the way from just north of San Francisco, California, Marty Spiegelman. She has a long experience in the business world, but has a particular fascination and fascinating interest in consciousness and how that can be applied, I'm sure, across many different areas, but particularly in a business setting. So, Marty, great to have you with us today.
Howard, thank you. I'm really happy to be here with you and your audience.
Great, great, great. So, first and only question, only set question anyway. How did you get into this field and where you are today in it?
All right, I'll try to, this is usually a long story, so I'll try to stay on track here and you can pull me in if you need to.
Right.
So, my beginnings, I was born into a very short but illustrious lineage of scientists. And so as I grew up, that's what I knew. I mean, I basically grew up with Nobel laureates in the living room.
Wow.
And, yeah. And my dad was instrumental in the discovery of RNA when he was a graduate student. And so that's the world I knew. And you know, we were all very bright and we all went to the best universities and so on. So I had, like, this is important to the story. I had blinders on. My worldview was like this big.
Right.
And I did the best I could, which included, when it got time to go to university, included Harvard. And I only knew science. So I signed up for a biochem degree.
Right.
And very soon after going to Harvard and starting to take science courses, I realized just how famous my dad was.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
It's like, I don't want anybody to know my last name.
Oh.
I mean, he was a wonderful person and a brilliant scientist, but it was like, oh no. So as soon as I could, I popped out of science, and bless my dad, he finally adjusted to that change. And I, somehow, it's still a miracle to me. I got into Yale Design School for graduate school. Mm. And I'd hardly done any design. It was like this much. But I got in and I took advantage of it. So again, here's my blinders. They're a little bit bigger now, but this is all I could see. Mm-hmm. So I learned design. I learned from the best. I was really fortunate. And from that, I set up a design business in San Francisco. My friends and I all moved to California because the weather was better.
Yeah.
Seriously. And we promised that if we could find work, we would do that. So I built a design career that turned out to be quite magnificent. I had a really good time. I helped to bring the Macintosh onto the market as a design tool. I had worked for lots of big companies, and it was really beautiful for 20 years.
Mm.
And it wasn't beautiful. The economy was tanking. The new computers were making everything harder. And one day I quit. And this was so uncharacteristic of me. You know, I was the get in there and do it right and do it perfectly and don't stop. And I said, one day I said, I can't. So I gave up my design business. I gave the clients to my staff. I walked away. And in California, here's where we're talking to your audience about healing. In California, if you have a midlife crisis, you go get energy healing.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
So
yep.
What was I going to do? Now my blinders a little bit bigger. So I discovered this fellow from Scotland, who Hugh Milne is his name, and he was teaching visionary craniosacral work and was doing sessions. And so I took a few sessions from him to heal my midlife crisis. And he said, "Oh, you should study with me." And it took me almost a year to say yes to that. But once I started working with him, it was clear I was very, very good at that. And I don't know where that came from, but I had an ability to know energy, to sense energy, and know what was encased in that energy without having to think and analyze. And so I didn't, again, I'm still in that place where I don't know anything else. So I'm just going to do this. And so I studied with Hugh and I taught for him, and then I developed my own program. And I was teaching visionary craniosacral work. And during that time, my students were asking me to teach them more. So I developed something called visionary skills. I don't know where that came from. I said, "Well, let's do this," right? And during this time, here's one of the big breakthroughs. During this time, I received in regular mail, member paper, invitations in a mailbox, right? I received invitations to study with Indigenous elders directly on three different continents. And I said yes to everything all at once. I didn't have that much else to do, and it looked really cool. So I said, "Yeah, let's." So now my radar screen's a little wider, right? And within a few years, I had my first levels of initiation in several different Indigenous lineages. And at this point, I realized, oh, wait a minute, I know biochemistry and neurophysiology, and I know design, which is the business of making the invisible visible. And I've done a lot of my own healing. And I realized everything I was getting from Indigenous cultures was the original human wisdom about our healed state, which is the core state of being fully conscious. So every elder who trained me said, "Teach." And I'm already a natural teacher, so I started to transmit what I could to my students, and I developed a long-term in-depth initiation and mentoring program, which I still run. And from that, I realized all of this wisdom is also what we need in business. Now, business is my definition of business. It's a node of consciousness that is designed to create, exchange, and distribute value. That's what consciousness does. That's what consciousness does. If you leave it alone, if humans don't interfere, a conscious system does nothing but replicate its essence, exchange with other systems their essential value and resources to create even more essence that is valuable to a bigger system. Consciousness, that's a forest, that's a business. And I realized, oh my Lord, in my life, I've been taken from here to here to here to here to here to do what I do now.
It was all purposeful, right?
So here I am talking to you.
That's great. And when you talked about people becoming fully conscious, what does that mean?
Very big question. A simple beginning is something I always say to people, that everything depends on how we use awareness. Everything depends on that. And then I step a little bit into neurophysiology. And if you think about your brain has, I'm going to make this really simple. So if there are any neurophysiologists listening, forgive me. Imagine, forget about the hemispheres, because your brain is not neatly divided into two. No, we know this. Okay, so your brain has two big chunks that are really important. Most of your brain is involved in receiving sensory data from the world. It's happening 24/7. You can't stop it.
Every
Even
millisecond.
if you, Every millisecond, even if you momentarily die in the OR after an accident, you're still receiving data, right?
You're right.
So that's relational intelligence, and that's where we imagine and create and all that stuff. And then there's another chunk, it's important, but it's tiny. And that's where we take what we've processed in that relational intelligence and we put it into kind of a linear mode so we can take action on it.
Okay,
Now we
make
go from
it
A to
functional.
B, we make it functional. That's where we can speak the language that gets created by the rest of our brains and so on. And so being fully conscious is learning to use your awareness so it's working in 100% of that capacity, not just the linear part, which is where most modern people live.
Right.
And yeah.
Yes, and we've also got the problem that a lot of other things are taking our attention and hijacking our attention and energy and so forth, so that we are not perceptive or receptive to all of that input that's coming in, right?
And those distracting things are addiction, linear processing, that tiny part of the brain that's if this, then that, A or B, and so on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's one to me, it's one of the, I don't know whether how to exactly categorize it, but certainly a frustration of the modern world where we live in the distraction, not the attention economy, but the distraction economy, and we are totally, totally bombarded all the time by irrelevant, unnecessary distraction that then prevents us from actually really being connected, right?
Well, I would say it a little differently. I
Okay,
think
good.
the bombarding stuff, all that stuff coming in, we're addicted to it because if we're only awake in that part of the brain that processes if this, then that. We're looking for if I see XYZ on Substack, then I will feel better.
Right. Yes.
And we don't. So we look for the next and the next and the next and the next. And none of that works. So give me something else. And we forget to unsubscribe from Substack. And so it's this awareness, the fact that we're only using awareness in this linear part of our process. That is the problem. It's not the influx of stuff. It's how we're using
Yes.
awareness.
Okay.
We don't know how to be aware in that
Right.
relational part before we make language.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
yeah, most of us doesn't need language. Your brain doesn't need
Right.
language. It creates it, but it doesn't use
Right.
it. Yeah. So we're caught in this really like a thin film of reality. Unless somebody comes along and says, "Let me teach you how to use awareness," you can't break out of there.
Right. Yep. Well, language is a trap, that's for sure, right? Isn't it? The Tower of Babel. It is, it presents itself, language presents itself as the truth when it's just a story, right? Basically. And that's a, very important way, I think, of understanding how we operate. This is fascinating, Marty. Let's take a short break for our great sponsors, and then we'll come right back to dive in a bit more about how you've applied this in different settings. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today, I'm delighted to be talking with Marty Spiegelman about the complex topic of consciousness. And we were talking about that in that first session of how our brains, our minds, bodies are constantly getting input, sensory input, and processing it in so many ways. But we have two problems at least, right? One is we get focused on the wrong things. And secondly, even when it does come in, we're not really sure how to use it effectively. And it seems to me that that's one of the things that you transitioned to when you started to get into this field. Okay, it's one thing to be aware. Now, what do you do with it? And yeah. So what's the answer to that one?
Okay, now I have even more answers for you.
Okay,
to
good.
File into that. Let's see. Let me talk about humans and how we are originally designed, how we used to live when there were fewer humans. Because having so many people on the planet complicates things even another. That's another 10 discussions for you. we, as a biological entity, we are designed pretty much like the rest of nature. There's one little exception, which I'll get to, but we're designed to be an integral part of other living systems. Yeah. And we are designed, our nervous system is designed to be wired in, that's the phrase I use, connected via awareness, into the natural world around us. And we used to live in relationship to the world around us. You know, before we had all this technical stuff, we would sit and listen to the earth and to the elements of creation, the wind and fire and water and all that stuff. And we could actually read the quality of light from stars to know how to stay healthy, how to tend the land we lived on so we could have food without destroying the land that we lived on. We lived in support of the system that we belong to, and in turn, the system supported us in our evolution. That's how it's supposed to go. Now, in order to live that way, your awareness, and this is what we used to do for our children, we were trained from childhood to flow our awareness into the world around us and receive the, I'm going to use this phrase, speech of nature, to literally receive the energies of all the living things around us, including stone, which most people think is not alive, but to receive all those energies into our sensing system. So to hear, to feel, to sense, to know, to taste, and know those energies. Yeah. And when our awareness is trained into the world around us and we receive from the world is informing us. Our own environment is telling us what to do and when to do it. And all of that is in service of thriving, not controlling,
right,
but thriving.
Yeah. Mutual thriving.
Mutual thriving. Relationship, collaboration, cooperation, collectivity, evolution, transcending into new states of fulfillment. This is what consciousness does if it's left undisturbed. And this is what it does for humans if we learn how to tap into it. Yeah. So in the modern world, now we have a very, very serious problem, because most people on the planet, I would say, don't have access to nature.
Right.
Nor do they have access to a mentor who remembers the original technologies of consciousness. And there are certain principles that we start with in the training to train your awareness to connect. And then you learn what the speech is. And then you learn the principles of thriving that are encoded in that speech. And you learn how to live with it. So in the modern world, it's a really big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not
going
to, in our lifetimes, we're not going to be able to help everybody regain, quote unquote, full consciousness. So the world that we have now, what I say to everybody who asks me this question is, I say, number one, get your awareness off of yourself. Stop thinking that you're the center of everything, that everything is about you. Put your awareness, if you're going from your front door down the steps of your apartment building to the car park underneath, there is something outside of you that you could pay attention to.
Right.
Different
right.
sound of your footfall on different kinds of concrete, the different temperatures or air densities as you go down a staircase inside a building, something other than yourself that is just sensory.
Right.
And just do that over and over and over and over again. That alone will change you. And, you know, part of the change, because you're also interested in healing as I am, part of the change as we wire our awareness into the world around us is the pressure that's inside us, you know, the anxiety epidemic,
mm-hmm.
the pressure lifts.
Yes.
It lifts.
Yes.
And you innately, because your body knows this, you innately come into relationship with something other than your ego and your limbic fear circuit.
Right.
And so the pressure lifts even more.
Right.
And if you can pass a tree, even if it's growing out of the middle of the sidewalk, and feel the energies of the tree, do that too. And there's nothing to figure out. Just be in the experience. Teach yourself to be in the experience. I had a pilot course I was running with a colleague, and most of our people were actually in London. It was interesting. And we just gave them these very, very simple exercises. This was a leadership conference, and so we wanted to wake their awareness up. And one guy would cycle from his apartment into city center to his job and back again, and he would pay attention to the trees while he was cycling. And after a couple of weeks, he wrote us and he said, "Oh my God, my relationship with my wife is so much better. What happened?" So this is the big initial prescription. Get your awareness into the world around you. Notice through your senses. Do not name, do not think, do not explain to yourself. Don't Google it.
No, don't do that. No,
yeah.
For sure. No, and that's one of the things that I guess, I mean, I don't know historically. Obviously, the Industrial Revolution was a critical part of that. Sort of became a performative culture. They're measuring everybody and egotism and just wrapped up in ourselves and just being so self-focused rather than just being aware.
Yeah. Well, there's an interesting little story I like to tell. The way I see it is if you go way back in human history, we were naturally living in relationship to the world around us. And think about chaos theory and a bifurcation point. You know, if a root's growing in the ground at some unpredictable point, it'll send a shoot off in another direction. So we're living in one way. And it was the only thing predictable is that this would happen sometime. Instead of paying attention to what's outside of us, somebody's going to say, "Hey, well, that's all fine. But what about what's inside of us?"
Right.
In the Greek culture, we started to look inside the body, inside the mind. Heraclitus is famous for saying it is dangerous to think in sunlight.
Hmm.
And if that doesn't encapsulate the shift in human culture, we paid attention to thinking, we paid attention to the mind, we went into the body, which is a physical thing. We took our awareness off of energy, off of nature, and went inside. Now, the error we didn't realize we were making is the more awareness you put inside yourself, the more the ego, it's like a big electromagnet, and it just sucks up your awareness and you get stuck to yourself.
Right.
And if you're stuck to yourself, the rest of you is kind of screaming and trying to push out, which triggers the limbic fear circuit, which triggers the autonomic nervous system into sympathetic dominance, which collapses our healed state. And here we are.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, the basis of the miracle within you was coming across people who'd had unbelievable, miraculous recoveries from lethal diagnosis and prognosis.
Exactly.
And I think one of the things that they all had was a stepping outside themselves in the sense of, I'm going to try everything I can, I'm going to be open. And they just weren't wrapped up in how terrible this was and what a shame it was and all of that. When they opened themselves up, the energy, I think, absolutely gave them the power to heal. And if you think of, if you think, I'm sure you have, of course, and I'd be interested in your views of this, how this impacts conventional medicine, for example. You know, you got a physical problem, you go, and it's all presented in this medical model where the doctor knows exactly what to do, and it's nothing to do with you, and he tells you, and no, I don't think, I mean, okay, that could work in some, but I don't think that's the optimal way.
It's not the optimal way. And there are a lot of, I don't know, there's a ripple effect in what you're describing. You know, first of all, the doctor says, I know what's wrong with you. And it's delivered as, this is wrong with you.
Right.
And so people, if they're already a bit self-referential, then now they're going to criticize themselves because they're sick. And the doctor says, well, it isn't really your fault, but it's something wrong with you, so you have to do this. And of course, most of the treatments aren't addressing the actual problem, so the patient doesn't really get better, and they get guiltier, and their healed state collapses even more.
Correct.
So, yeah. And so, you know, the in the Americas, especially in South America, they define, they'll say this about your healed state. It's dependent on your connectivities into the world. So we're back where we were a few minutes ago, talking about the requirement that we flow our awareness into the world and receive information from the world. And that outward wiring supports our healed state.
Yes.
So to them, you could have a broken leg, and if you're wired correctly, you're still in your healed state and you're healing. Yeah. And so one of the things, I mean, I've seen a lot of miraculous things happen. But one of the things that happens when you release, you're describing these patients who are open to other things. They get their awareness off of themselves. One of the things that happens, whether you know it or not, is literally energies from the world around you enter your energy structure, which is producing your physical structure. And you have an innate memory in your structures of your healed state. It just needs energy.
Yes.
And if you're not thinking, thinking interrupts all this. So if you're not thinking, then these energies have half a chance of healing you, right? Now, if you are initiated into these technologies, I'll give you an example of a friend of mine who is an initiated master in Peru. And he was in a little car accident and apparently broke his hip. And he's the kind of guy who he would heal himself, but he got taken to the hospital and he was just crazy. Let me out, let me out. And they wouldn't. And they took an X-ray and they showed him, your hip's broken, you have to stay here. And he badgered them. He does what he called, he prayed through the night. What he was doing was he was calling the powers of the earth into his body to heal his bone. And he did that through the night, and he just hassled them to take another X-ray in the morning, and they couldn't find the break.
Yep. Yep.
So he, quote unquote, he healed the bone, but he didn't. What he did was he called on a larger power, and literally energies come into the energy body. They find the break. Those energies move into the physical body and activate all of the physiology we know that's involved in bone healing.
Yes. And that's similar to some of the healings I've seen too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where people open themselves up to that And they say, I feel healed. And the doctors go and they can't find the tumor anymore, or whatever it is, it's just disappeared. And you see this enough times, it impacts you. You know
It
there's
does.
something to it. It's not a pure freak. There is something serious going on there.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is amazing stuff. We have to take a short break again for our sponsors, but then we'll be right back to talk to Marty Spiegelman about consciousness.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real. But that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. And today I've been delighted to be talking with Marty Spiegelman, who has tremendous insight on the topic of consciousness. Obviously, we could spend many more episodes, and we'll probably have a few more on this topic, Marty. Let's talk about one thing here where you have taken this and applied it in business settings. So how do we apply these principles of consciousness and awareness into a business setting?
Yes. A business itself is basically a node of consciousness that is creating value that it gives out into, we call them customers, or sectors, but it's that value that a business creates. It's serving a local system, a local network. And let's say you have a business that serves your community. If your community is healthier, if you live in the States, your county is healthier, your state is healthier, and so on. So there's a ripple effect. If one system within a larger system is working well, then the next scale works and so on. And businesses are, they're just part of, they're another expression of human consciousness at work. It's like a tree within a forest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I realized we don't really understand that. So we look at business in terms of the famous phrase is lagging indicators. I'm going to do something and then I'm going to turn around and look at what it produced and I'm going to try to figure out what to do next over here because I'm looking behind myself.
Right.
This is always present and always emerging from, imagine a fountain emerging from a single point, giving out into the world. The world gives back into the source point. So at the source of who you are, you know what to produce next.
Right.
That's what
okay.
business is. Yeah.
Right.
And I realized, yeah, I realized this as I was learning the core principles of consciousness in, as they teach them in the Americas.
Yes, so there's always connectivity, right? How does this business influence the community, the culture, I mean, everything around it, right? How does it influence it?
Yeah, and the actual purpose of business is not just to influence, but to provide abundance, to ensure
right.
state fulfillment.
Right.
And one of the earliest human initiatory pathways we find in Egypt with the so-called merchant priests, And their initiation was to ensure that abundance was distributed within their villages.
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. That's initiation is about consciousness. Indigenous wisdom is about consciousness.
Right.
And so they were being initiated into the practice of what we call business.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And so, you know, in older times and in indigenous situations, community is very important. And we've lost, in many places in the world, we've lost that big time.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm sure that influences a lot of things.
Yeah. When you lose the principle of community, you have, and that's a principle of consciousness, collectivity.
Right.
When you realize you have lost collectivity, you have also lost a principle of producing value. There's a whole technology of producing value, investing for the express purpose of creating multiplicities of return, many different kinds of return, and a lot of it for everyone involved.
Yes, yes.
Our business, we were talking about linear stuff and
right.
either or and causality. Mm-hmm. Our business now is, it's me or you.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
business now is I have to be the one, you know.
Yeah, it's competitive rather than cooperative, right?
Yes, competitive in a way that deletes potential.
Mm-hmm.
Nature doesn't do that. There's competition in nature, but it's designed to increase potentiality and
yes.
increase. Yeah, but we don't do that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That system doesn't do that. It's about being the best one and knocking the other one out. And back to the egotistic view, right? Yeah. And if we're ever going to get back on track, don't you think, we're going to somehow need to get back to community in the same sense?
Yes, we do. And here's another thing about consciousness is in the Western world, we try to find the one thing that we need. But consciousness is everything all at once.
Yes.
And if you're sitting in that linear part of your mind, that's overwhelming because that linear part is designed to only focus on one thing at a time. You
right.
can't even hold two things in awareness.
Right.
Right.
You can't. Yeah.
So the first thing we need is a little awareness training, just that little awareness practice we talked about. Mm-hmm. Then you can hold in awareness the understanding that each of our listeners, you and me, every single human being, our first job is to come into relationship with ourselves, not our ego, but our essential gift, to come present. That's the first principle of consciousness, loosely spoken. And in that moment, the way we come present is to be aware of the world around us. So
right.
Two things are happening simultaneously. The world is speaking to me. I'm aware of that. So I'm aware of me. By wiring into the world. If
yes.
I'm in that state, then I can begin to invest for multiplicities of benefit because the world is telling me where to put my gift.
Yes.
And
that's right.
It gives me downloads about the ways I could run a business or the ways I can stay healthy, whatever we need. Everything
mm-hmm.
inside us came from outside of us.
Right.
And if we're wired into the world, we get everything from that big network. Everything's connected and it's coming into us. We're using it. We're growing ourselves. We're putting our gift into the world. Now we're getting really conscious. And it's all based on that connectivity.
Yep, absolutely.
So this is all at once. This is
yep.
all at once.
Yep.
Presence, full awareness of what is without any judgment or agenda, investing for thriving, based on connectivity.
Yep.
All at once. Then
yep.
Start to have wholeness and healing and functional business and functional governance, and we don't need wars, and there we go.
Right, exactly. And again, that's one of the problems, I think, with the way society and cultures have developed and are developing with social media and all of this stuff. Is our thinking has become incredibly simplistic and binary. It's either this or that. And if you can't take in a bigger picture, You got a problem because binary thinking is just going to lead you to simplistic, oversimplistic stupidity in many ways.
Yeah. I mean, a metaphor I always use is think about water. What's water? It starts as two gases, two gaseous ions of opposite charges in different, in a certain proportion. And I have to bring opposites together, I have to bring a certain proportion of plus and minus charges together. I have to do that in order to have water. When they come together, they create a third new thing,
right?
A liquid, which is the base life in many ways.
Yes.
These are principles of consciousness. This is consciousness at work. And so what you just said is so important and powerful. If we can only have one thing in mind, I can only think of plus charges. I'm never going to have water. I'm only going to see plus charges in the world. So I'm going to gather around me people who are like me, and I won't be able to tolerate people who are not like me. Does this sound familiar?
Yes.
Right. And then we stop. You can't make a third new thing if you can't bring two complementarities together.
Right.
This is consciousness or not consciousness.
Yes. Yeah. And I have a book called I Think, Therefore I'm Wrong, which points this out that, you know, what we think of thinking is overthinking and leading us down the wrong path. We need to be more sensual and sentient. Rather than trying to impose some sort of linguistic thought structure on everything, because then you're missing things, right?
Exactly. And I want to make a point here that this, we're talking about what humans need to do. This is not subjective. This is not our opinion.
Right.
This is technical. We're talking about the literal human design, energetically, physically, physiologically. If we're going to exist on the planet as part of the living systems, we have to understand how our nature works.
Yeah.
That's what we're actually talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really important. When you have introduced this, and I'm sure there's many different experiences you've had, is there a typical way that somebody who has not been exposed to it before responds? I guess there are some people who have bit cynical and dismissive, and other people much more welcoming. We know who's going to do better with it, but I'm just interested in your view.
Well, the funniest one, and bless this person, it's really something. If you look up my TEDx talk on YouTube, somebody put a comment in, "This is word salad."
Right.
And I just send blessings to that person that maybe someday their awareness will unfurl a little bit more. So there are many people who cannot hear what I have to say, and I cannot worry about that. And this is a point I want to make, is that the stuff that's not working in our world, we are not here to fix it. That's not our job. If you're interested in consciousness, your job is to become conscious and live as fully as you can. And trust that the ripple effect is bigger than you can imagine.
Yes, I think that's great. Yeah.
So absolutely. the people who do recognize what I'm saying, they will often, I'll get messages from people like, "Oh my God, that was amazing. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I know I want it."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they're in our cells, in our protoplasm, we have a memory of being conscious. It's a felt state. It's an experience, not a definition.
Mm-hmm.
And when you experience it, and it's your body goes, yes,
right.
Believe in it.
Right.
You have to believe in it.
Yeah. And what about, I'm just thinking about this because it seems important to me, what about young children who have yet to be conditioned into the sort of linguistic way of thinking? They are, you know, when they're particularly young, they are connected and inspired and excited by the world, aren't they? And they're not trying to segment it.
Exactly. Yes, and I keep praying. This is not my work in the world, but I hope somebody steps up that I could train, that they could do this. We need teachers for young people, teachers who are initiated. That's my word for training your awareness and be being initiated into these technologies of consciousness. And then those people need to take children out into nature, even if you're not initiated and you have kids, take them into nature and teach them how a flower blossoms. Teach them how bees fly. Teach them about the northern lights and rainbows.
Absolutely.
Learn from them.
Yeah. I mean, the sort of education thing is, I can remember time sitting in primary school, looking out the window and watching a flock of birds fly, and then, you know, and the teacher says, "Rankin, what are you, pay attention," you know? And, well, I'm actually paying attention. But isn't that true? I mean, that's, you know? I'm educating myself a whole lot more by watching how that flock of birds are communicating and flying and whatever, you know, nonsense this teacher's going to tell me. And so, again, the education system, I think, has really damaged that by prioritizing linear binary thinking and all of that stuff. I think it really damaged that.
And again, once we recognize that, my advice to people is stop worrying about it and do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't fix what's in existence, but you can certainly do something different. You can teach the children you know about nature and learn.
Yeah, you certainly can teach children something different about how to view the world, right? And how to appreciate it, right? And when they're lost in it, don't interrupt them.
Exactly.
Even if it's time for dinner, let them, you know, seriously. This is amazing, Marty. Now, you mentioned you have a TEDx talk, and that can be found on YouTube, I assume, right?
Yes. You can search for my YouTube channel, in fact, and you'll find there my TEDx talk and some talks I've given to groups of business advisors about consciousness. There's a series shining a light on consciousness in business. So there's, you can find a lot of me talking about my work, and people really enjoy those. So I hope your listeners will find them and listen in. And I also have an audio course. It's called The Foundations of Precision Consciousness. And it's a do-it-yourself, easy listening audio course. Take your time with it. Listen. I'm talking about the principles, giving exercises, and so on. And you can find that at pc.martyspiegelman.org.
Okay. Excellent.
Really good thing to do.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have a LinkedIn page, right?
And, yes, I have a LinkedIn page and a podcast, Leading from Being. And you can find the podcast on that website. And we're also streaming on, I don't know, all the services my co-host has put us on, but you can find us where podcasts are streaming to.
And again,
Leading from Being.
Leading from Being. Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Marty. Great to have you on the show. We must do this again.
But
it is unfortunately something that we've lost, and we need to get it back. So thank you for all you do. It's been great chatting with you today.
Likewise. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.